Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour, thank you very much. And okay, thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you, especially if we get a chance to bring our good friend David Dossie back on the show. David is a partner in Gallagher and Dossie, which is an intellectual property attorney firm out of Cleveland, Ohio. And he is invention-protection.com is the website. I hope you check that out when you get a chance. He's been helping us. He's been helping us with our intellectual property preparation for selling the business, making sure that when somebody comes in and they say, okay, I've got George here who's going to do your inventory check. He's going to check out your equipment. We're going to come up with a comparison of what we find with what you say you're selling us, so we can make sure that we're not paying for stuff we don't get. Now, George is going to take care of all that, and you're going to say, oh, great, now let's go to lunch. And then your buyer's going to say, no, wait, not time to go to lunch yet. Susan here is going to do the same thing, only with your intellectual property. So where does she start, George? That's how it's going to work, isn't it, Dave?
Sure.
And you're going to look at him and say, huh? What's intellectual property?
Hopefully not. Hopefully you're listening to this show and you start thinking about this ahead of time. But yeah, with service-based businesses, the IP due diligence really falls into four categories. You know, the easiest being contracts with employees and vendors. The second being confirming trademark ownership and the level of clearance that was performed so that you give them confidence in that they can use your trademarks and not buy. They're not buying problems.
Right.
The third would be any past, current, or anticipated intellectual property litigation. And then the fourth would be, like you mentioned before, regarding trade secrets. What trade secrets does the company have, and what have you been doing to keep them as trade secrets?
Well, here would be a conversation, part of that conversation, David. So you come to buy my business, and I say, hey, man, we have a way of doing things that I figured out over the years, being so knowledgeable about this industry. I came up with this plan to serve our customers or to create this product or whatever, and it's just very unique, and it's how we've been able to, you know, make more money on the bottom line. And then you, David, as a buyer, is going to say, okay, tell me how many people know about that. Oh, everybody knows about it. Or whatever. Well, okay, fine, but then it's not a trade secret then, is it? Or you're going to ask me, have your employees signed a non-disclosure, right?
Right. Yeah, it's amazing how many deals can fall apart right at that stage. That really the human resource, just records-keeping stage of, if you can't produce, like, a list of all your employees in the last 10 years and whether they were under an agreement or not under agreement, what their roles were, you're in trouble.
Yep. So what else do we need to know?
Okay, so that was with service-based businesses. But if you're looking at buying a business or your business is very product-intensive, like you're producing product and selling product through Lowe's or Amazon, whatever, there's a whole higher level of scrutiny that is then going to be involved, because now you're not just talking about trademarks and such, but a potential buyer wants to know, are these products, you know, infringing other people's patents? What is my risk if I buy this business that I'm just going to get sued in a year associated with one of these products that you developed because you didn't do enough research ahead of time? So when dealing with a product-based business, you're going to get requests for information regarding what we call clearance. And that just really means, what type of due diligence did you do before launching this product to feel confident that you weren't infringing other people's intellectual property? And then secondarily, what have you done to protect these products so that if I buy it, I'm not going to buy it and 2 months later a competitor is going to be launching a product that is essentially exactly like your best-selling product,
right,
which is going to cause the revenues to drop 50% or something
and,
like that.
And you may have actually taken your product to a customer and given them some kind of exclusivity, and that's a big contract that you're going to convey to this new seller who's going to then find out that you don't have the exclusive right to that.
Right. And people don't think of that as intellectual property, but your contracts, whether you're getting them preferential rates from a vendor, or you're having you've exclusively licensed something, you know, all of those contracts fall in the realm of intellectual property that can tremendously increase or decrease the value of your business.
Yep. Hey, Dave, I got to go. Thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. Come back soon.
Thank you, Jim. I'd love
David Dossie, ladies and gentlemen, invention-protection.com. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.